Welcome to the She's Electric podcast. We're in the business of helping you to be your best self.
Click subscribe so we can help you have more money, more success, more love, more laughter, and more time for you. I'm Pia.
And I'm Kaya. Now let's get on with this episode.
Hello, thank you for joining us for another episode of the She's Electric podcast. Today is another catch-up episode, which I'm so excited about because I feel like myself and Kaya haven't actually properly caught up in weeks. So I have no idea what's going on in her life. So I hope you guys are as excited to hear about this as I am. Kaya, what's going on for you lately?
I'm so excited for a classic catch-up episode because you're right. It feels like it has been a few weeks since we've had a proper catch-up. What is exciting for me today is that my mum is arriving. She's coming to visit for about 5 days. And the reason that she's coming is because they share the same birthday. This week, it's 3 years since Luca was born and three years since Enzo was born. So my son, who passed away about 9 months ago, and son, who will be three this week, were born on exactly the same day, which doesn't feel like a coincidence to me. I feel like it's a beautiful synchronicity that exists between us. But it's an interesting one because I think that one of the things I've been thinking about is, even as I was anticipating that we were going to be recording today, is that sometimes when something happens to you, people have expectations about how you should be or what emotions you're experiencing or what a bad place or a good place you might be in. And I think actually that it's super interesting to note it, how those expectations can become internalized and can shift into a form of judgment when you are feeling or experiencing something that's maybe not the norm or not traditional. And as I was saying that, what I was thinking is, when somebody is approaching their wedding, for example, or it's their wedding day, and everyone is saying to them, God, this is going to be the best day. Or you've watched all these movies telling you that it's the best day of your life. And you're like, fuck, if this is the best day of my life, am I doing life wrong? Am I making a decision? And so I think I'm having that experience in reverse, which actually, when I think about it, I was journaling on this morning. I am completely open to any emotions, right? Mm-hmm. This week is super spacious for me to make sure that I have got space for whatever's coming up. But what is coming up for me is that 3 years ago, when my son was born, like that was amazing. That was like a celebration. And even like the experience of his life, while his life wasn't what society expects the life of our child to be, mm-hmm. in that it was short and it was sweet, it was like a beautiful life. I treasure that day and his life. And actually, I don't feel the way that I maybe felt when it was 6 months since he had passed. Like that was like impending doom. And this feels like there's a lightness in how I'm feeling right now. And I'm open to that changing as the week unfolds. But I talked to my husband because his mum is actually arriving on the actual day. And I got really upset I did get really upset because I said, you didn't even ask me before you made that arrangement. You just told me that was happening. And I think what I said to him is, I just want to be intentional about how this day happens. I don't want it to just be like on the back foot and reactive. I want there to be intention around it. And his mum is flying in so that she can get a direct flight because she's in France. She's flying into an airport that's 2 hours away. So he's going to collect her in the morning, which I think was what was making me feel quite like overwhelmed, mm-hmm. was it was like, oh, either I'm on my own or I'm going to be in the car with them. But then I said it to my parents that she was, and they were like, oh, mum was going to come. And then I was like, I would love that. That would be so great. So actually, I'm going to be with my mum in the morning. And then me and my husband have just talked about a couple of things that we want to do. But actually, that feels so nourishing because I know that she's obviously going to be having her own experience too, but I know that like her energy is there to support me. And I think that actually for both me and my husband to have like our mums here is really special, because it's, we don't have that tendency to be pleaser to the other one, and we can, yeah, there's space for both of our experiences, because I think that they are quite different. I can see that it's been hard for my husband to talk about my son. He really struggles to look at photos and stuff. And that's really different for me. I actually was saying to him the other day, I think one of the things that is really interesting, and I was listening to a podcast last week, it was all about communication. And on it, the guy was talking about when his father had died at work. And he said all he wanted was somebody to say to him, what was your dad like? Because all he wanted to do was talk about his dad. His dad was in his mind all the time. Mm-hmm. And somebody saying to him, how are you doing today? And what was your dad like? Would have just been such a beautiful gift to him. And I think it's interesting. It really made me, it stuck in my mind, because I was saying to my husband like a couple of weeks ago, when we see good friends and they don't acknowledge what's happened or ask me anything about Luca, that really triggers me, because mm-hmm. if we're acting as if nothing's happened, I don't want to sit around and cry all day, but we can just acknowledge it. And I actually really noticed that I've gravitated in this experience to my friends who do ask me, and actually the connection and the relationship we have is light and joyful, because there's acknowledgement of like his life, which was light and joyful. Mm,
yeah, there's so much interesting stuff there to pick apart. I remember that awkwardness, that people not mentioning the elephant in the room. And it's such a weird thing that we do, that it's like people are afraid by bringing him up, they're going to remind you of him. And it's, of course, I'm thinking about him. Mm. And there's so much, especially with death, and death still makes people, especially in the Western world, very awkward. And they don't, instead of talking, I know exactly what you mean about talking about their life and talking about who they were. And whenever I know someone who's had someone close to them die, I always ask, like, tell me stories about them. What were they like? What was their personality like? What's your first memory of them? Because they're the things that get lost in favor of all this narrative around the tragedy. And then that is what makes you feel despair and grief and hopeless. And yet you have said something really true, which is Luca's life was love and light. And just because it wasn't this expectation that we have that we're going to live to 90, that's not tragic.
Totally. And it's interesting, because I think that you experienced a really intense version of grief and a trauma in your life, right? Mm. When you lost your friend in that accident, which we talked about on the podcast, and you shared really vulnerably and beautifully about what that was like for you. And what I find so interesting is that the people that I see around me who have this capacity to be like present to the experience mm-hmm. are people often who have suffered some sort of grief, or they've had an experience. It could be a divorce. It could be something like that. Or it could be, for me, loss of a child. It could be that they lost their parent very young, something like that. It gives them this ability to just see things in a different way. And that's a superpower that comes out of experiencing adversity, is that you can connect with people in a different way. And I think that comes from your experience of other people giving you a gift, right? Them paying that gift, and then you can pay that gift forward to other people. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it's back to what I said. When I lost my friend, I used to look at that picture of us before we got on the river. And I used to say, I want to be that girl again. She had no problems. And then years later, when I'd come through that moment of insight and I could be that person for others and have that empathy, I would look at that picture and I'd go, I don't want to be her, because she doesn't know anything about life. She's so clueless about things.
Right.
And I wouldn't give up what I've learned to go back to being her. And you've said something which I really want to hone in on, which is you get to choose how this day goes. And I love that you use this word intentional. And someone who I've seen do this really well is Stephen's family. When his father died very suddenly, we were due to get married. The week after we buried Kevin, Stephen and I had a joint hen and stag, a sten. And everyone was like, cancel it, let's cancel it. And Stephen and Chrissy and their mom, Bettina, they were like, no, We need joy in our lives. This has been so hard, this whole experience. We need something to celebrate. And yes, the stag and the hen, it was a different experience, but we came together, we laughed, we cried. And actually, it was what they needed to have their friends around them. They didn't need to have a typical stag and hen, and that's not what we did. But it's, and then every year on Kevin's anniversary, they make it a joyful occasion where they do something and they tell stories about him. And it's the same thing on his birthday. It's been a totally different experience of death that I've seen. I haven't seen that. I've always just seen the tragedy around it and the grief and the people shutting themselves away for years. And in Stephen's family, they celebrate him. And that's something that, as I said, this day is yours for you to do as you want. And I think it's so great that Steph has his mother there. You have your mother there because both of you became parents on that day 3 years ago. And so having somebody who really understands that, you don't want to be around people. The people who can't have an conversation for long enough to acknowledge what happened, that's not what you need right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think I love that what you were mentioning there resonates so deeply with me, which is my friends who can make me laugh. I just can't get enough of them now because what happens after adversity, like when you experience adversity is, and it's not the same for everybody. What you're talking about there is we have a choice. Like everything in my work is about bringing people home to this. And so I feel so lucky that I am like working with other people on this every day. So it's reminding me every day that I have a choice in how I want my life to go. And what I was talking with a member of my family, and she was telling me about how sometimes when people ask her about me, she says they wince. They're like, how's Claire? Yeah. And they wince. And she says it makes her really angry and she wants to slap them. And I was like, we were talking about it and I was laughing and saying, that's about them. Like those people, they make me angry too. And I get that kind of like response of wanting to slap them. And she's like, I just say to them, yeah, she's doing really great. And I'm like, but when that happens to me, when somebody is like in that wince, it's I don't want that energy in my life. So it just calms down protection that they're on their own journey. I'm on my own journey, and everybody is. And it's been a great opportunity to just cull a lot of energy from my life that maybe it would have taken me longer to cull. And I'm not saying that these people are bad people. They're not. It's just they're on a different path. And what I see is that so many people are going through different experiences, right? You are going through an experience right now, which on a day-to-day basis, there are levels of intensity. I'm not belittling my own grief, but there is despair in being exhausted. There is despair in not having a lot of time for yourself. So it's like the human experience involves a whole range of emotions. And what people who are in every single different walk of life or have faced every different circumstance or among all of the people, like everyone's got the ability to choose, right? And it's the more time that you spend with people who feel empowered, who recognize that they have a choice. They're not trying to be perfect, but they recognize that they are like, they have choice. They have freedom of to do what they want with their mind.
Yeah. Like,
you are going to put yourself more into those habits too.
Yeah. I'm really on this journey as well, surrounding myself with people who, and you've said it really well, which is that they're intentional and that they know that they have a choice. And this is something that I've really seen you embody since I've met you, because your life has changed so much. And you were working on a minimum wage paid job. And then you went and you set up your business. And I've just seen you flourish and you grow. And for anybody looking on the outset, you just, Kaya's just doing so well. And she's become this amazing coach. But I've seen that all of it has actually started in your head. It's all the little words that you've been saying to yourself. It's all these habits that you've formed. It's not about what's going on externally, because there have been so many challenges externally, and not just Luca. There's been trying to set up a business. I've seen you get so much further, so much quicker than I did because of your mindset, because you had a target. You were consistent with things. And it has been a real show for me, because I handled grief so badly and I drowned in it for years. And I thought that's what grief was. I thought you had to do that. And so I understand the wincers, because that is their reality. That's just what they think is possible. And then the Winters will always listen to this and go, Kaya's lying to herself. And it's, I always have to remind myself with that is what other people think about me and what other people think of me, it's none of our business. It's none of our business. And it's only because I saw in Stephen's family that you can lean into joy and still be sad. You can still grieve and you can still honor that person. Or you can lean into despair and you're still not going to bring them back.
Right.
So what way do you want to feel?
And also it's there's space for everything. Mm-hmm. I think the point is that like, when I was thinking about this, you hit the nail on the head there, whereas it's like, what other people think about us can't be part of our journey. Because I've had enough despair in this year to when I wake up in the morning and I'm not in that place, it's hallelujah. Like, yeah. I am so grateful to feel good because yeah. there are days when I feel so bad. Yeah. So it's, I can't tell a story where I say that I feel bad all the time because I don't, right? Mm-hmm. Grief is not constant. And actually, I think that the point I was trying to make at the beginning is that it's really easy for us to try and act in accordance with what other people expect from us. What I think is that the more that you can shut out other people's expectations and performing
conform.
Yeah, it's like the more that you try and conform to like society's expectations, the more average your life is going to be.
Yeah.
And it's, I know exactly what you're saying. Like sometimes it, what's vulnerable for me, for some people, what's vulnerable might be sharing how much they're struggling.
Yeah.
What's vulnerable for me is to actually just be authentic in my experience. That's quite vulnerable because of what you said. It's, there are a lot of people that can't relate to that and are like, oh, whatever, she's just like lying and whatever. And actually, I genuinely am at a place today, not always, mm-hmm. but today, mm-hmm. where like, that's about you. If you have that narrative, that is about you. So what's vulnerable for me is to say, the way that I feel today is I feel grateful for Luca. She journaled on it this morning where I was like, yeah. I am so grateful that I had this beautiful child who had this beautiful spirit and had such a sweet little body. I am so grateful to have a husband who is so sweet and kind to me and a marriage that is full of love, like genuinely, that's where I'm at today.
Yeah, but it's also, that's not by accident because you are leaning into those thoughts. And it's interesting because I feel, especially after having a baby, you are also in a very vulnerable space. And you did say that there are so many challenges and you're spending so long in tiredness and that can make things more difficult. And I've really found that I cannot be around people lately. The news quoters, the people you come into a room and they say 10,000 people died over here. And or
sorry, it's not funny, but
it's not. I know it's
the news quotas because it's like they're repeating bad news all day
they
long.
They are just repeating bad news at you. And I go, okay, so how is you sitting here obsessing over this going to help them?
It's and actually but even beyond that, you're like, that is not good for me. I can't be worrying about that. I'm like, that is not good for me.
I just, me sitting here ruminating over how awful that is not helping them.
And also it's just not good for you. It doesn't even need to be about whether or not it's helping the world. And do you know what I mean? Because that kind of gets slightly into judgment. It's like, you are allowed to not want to be around anything that you don't like. You are allowed to have aversion.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm reading this book, The Postnatal Depletion Cure. If you're postpartum, please get it. But he talks about how after you have a baby, you get more oxytocin receptors in your brain. So your capacity to love after becoming a mother increases, which is this incredible superpower that women have. And yet we live in a society that doesn't value that. And so ever since having Rafi, Stephen keeps trying to get us to watch movies and all the movies he puts on, they start with just people killing each other. And I watch 5 minutes and I'm like, sorry, Stephen, I'm just not enjoying this. You watch it on your own.
You're like, can we get some Disney on?
Yeah, I just want something that makes me feel hopeful. And I have been in a space where I have, since Rafi was born, I have saturated myself in positivity. I have been doing, we spoke about this soon after I had Rafi, that I'm on this spiritual journey this year and I'm really leaning into trying to have a greater connection with that inner knowing, that higher self. And I have really, I am very proud of myself that I've committed to meditating. I've committed to stillness, just every day, just having that still and trying to connect with something that is has been drowned out for so many years by the busyness. And when I'm around people who are just feeling hopeless and they're, it's actually an addiction. Negative news is an addiction. And talking about how bad the food industry is and smartphones are killing our children and the anxious generation and all this kind of stuff. And I go, I'm never going to be able to deal with any of that or fix any of that. If we keep talking about all of this darkness, we're never going to be able to come into the light. And what I mean by that is that we spend so much time talking about how bad things are, yet we never spend even a fraction as much time talking about what could great look like. And I'm talking about that in the perspective of just that this is just one example. So right now I'm trying to think of where am I going to take my business? What is it that I can do and earn money for versus what do I really want to do? What calls my heart? And a lot of this silence time is me going, what is my purpose here on earth? Because I do believe that we are sent here with a purpose. And I've definitely developed a lot of spiritual beliefs, not religious beliefs, but spiritual beliefs after having none after my friend died. I literally thought you live, you die, you're dust. And this is all starting to wake up in me now. And what I find is that everybody's talking about obesity rates are so high, diabetes is so high. It's all negative, bad. And I've been in this very positive place and going, well, what would an amazing food system look like? And I've been playing around in that and going, so there has to be nutrition training in schools, buying direct from producers and farmers. It has to be that way. There's too many middlemen, and that's cutting down margins and giving the producers the power to actually service their own customers. And there's all these things happening, right? And since I've been playing in this area, it's really weird. This is going to sound a little bit weird, but I have noticed people coming into my life that I feel are part of my mission. And this is all just back to, I haven't been engaging with the negativity. I have been engaging with the positivity. And I was at a talk, I was asked to talk at the Community Midwives at their 25 year anniversary, just to give a little talk on my experience working with them. And I had this funny feeling when I went there that I was going to meet someone interesting. I don't know why, it was really weird. And so after I gave my speech, I was there and I could have just gone home because Rafi was starting to kick off and I was like, oh, like I'll get him home and then he can have a nap at home. And then I was like, something said it in me, just stay. And I'm really trying to listen to that voice now. When I get that little feeling, I'm like, listen to it. So I said, I'm going to put Rafi down here. And some people were coming up to me. They're like, oh, your speech was so good. And we were chatting away there. And this woman came up to me and we're in this beautiful house. I won't say where it was, but we were in this beautiful house. And it's a place, it's a food place, a food mecca in Ireland, where they would grow their own produce. They have their own outdoor reared pigs. It's a very much a farm to fork philosophy. And so I was chatting away to this woman. She said, I actually had two of my babies at home with a home birth. And we were chatting about that. And then she said, so what you do anyway? And I said, I work in the food industry. I'm a product developer and I help food producers with their go-to-market strategies. And she said, huh, that's so weird. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, we were just talking about how we need a product developer on Friday. And now here you are. And I was like, okay. And she was like, I own this establishment. And I was like, holy crap. And I was like, I listened to that voice, and every time I listen to that voice, it doesn't put me wrong. And it's since then. So this is like a dream client for me to work with somebody that I don't have to convince. I don't have to convince that you don't put these terrible things into your food. Let's make real food the way that it used to be done. I don't have to convince her. She's already there. And since then, another client has come into my life who has the only carbon negative farm in the country, which is insane. Not just carbon neutral, carbon negative. And it's like all of a sudden I can see that it's instead of me trying to waste all my energy trying to convince people who are in the ultra processed trap, they just don't know how to get out of it. It's creating a platform for these food visionaries to get to market and to get bigger and to grow and to inspire others. And so it's not about being in the darkness, trying to get people out of the darkness. It's about shining the light on the people who have a vision for this amazing future. That's where I want to work.
I don't even know where to start. I'm so excited. Many things were coming up in my, I literally had goosebumps when you were talking. Just so great to hear this. The first thing that I loved was that you were speaking 25th anniversary of the midwife thing. And what I love about this is that just for pure sheer love of the service, right? Mm-hmm. You were like championing this organization, doing what you could to bring awareness to how amazing they were for other women who might want to use their services to share your own experience, not because you wanted anything, right?
No.
Because you genuinely were basically energetically aligned with what they were trying to do, right? There, you're in alignment. And so then you get invited to speak at this event because they can see that you're such an advocate and you're such a supporter. And I can only imagine, because I've heard you talking so passionately about this and extremely articulately, you've explained beautifully on numerous occasions how wonderful the service is, what the benefits are, your journey with them was. So you would be a perfect person to speak. And then this happens. I absolutely love it. And you know what? When you were speaking at the beginning and you were talking about the challenge of being around people where there's a lot of darkness and there's constantly this cycle of talking about the thing that they say they don't want. So they're just manifesting darkness. It's like they just don't have an awareness of the fact that that's what they're manifesting. And the whole world is doing this. So that's interesting in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's what was coming up for me is be the change that you want to see in the world.
Exactly.
And it starts one individual at a time. Don't worry about changing everything around you. Just start to change yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that will change. That will have a ripple effect outwards on your family, on your friends, on your community, on the world. Like, that's how we change the world. It's like you don't change things from the outside. You change things from the inside. And I loved to hear you say that you were really proud of the commitments and the practices that you have been leaning into, because you are really hard on yourself. When you were talking about grief just then, you were like, God, I did grieve so badly. And I was thinking, oh my God, so much judgment. You were so young, right?
I know, you're right.
I'm 40. This happened to me. I'm not 40, I'm actually 39.
You're 39, yeah, you're giving up a year.
This happened to me. Losing my son happened to me when I was 38. I had 38 years to be on my own journey and be on a path in which I had experienced so much transformation in my mindset. If that had happened to me when I was 10 years before that, it would have been a completely different experience. So you were so young. And yeah, I love that when you listen to that voice, it's like this, the universe rewards you and is like, more of this.
Yes.
If you just slow down. And it's a great example of, the thing is that when you want to change, for a lot of people, the thing that prevents them from changing is that they don't change the environment that they're in. So it's, they're trying to change, but they're trying to change in the same environment.
Yeah.
And actually, the people that we are around is a lot about the environment that we experience, which is why if you're trying to become more healthy, it needs to be with your partner, right? If you both want to do more exercise, that is going to boost your capacity to be successful because you're on the journey together, right? So what was really exciting me as you were talking then was like, it's a kind of different perspective on something that I've been really, like a big shift that I've been experiencing in the last month, which is that I've been working with my coach on like this one example in which this shows up is it's like, okay, chasing money. And it's, I don't chase money, I create money.
Yes.
So the energy of that is so different. And what's shifted for me recently is that it's successful business is not some mystery, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just need to learn what the rules are. We need to understand there's a strategy behind successful business, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you need to understand the game and just start learning how things fit together. And it's the same with like mindset, which is a version of a successful life, is it's not someone woke up today and they just felt great. There's these things that they're different for people, but what are these things? What are the foundations to give you the best opportunity to feel good every day? You were like, oh, meditation is one of them. Oh, not being on my phone is another one. Oh, the people I spend time with, not filling my day with loads of busy stuff. So there's space, not having these rigid parameters. So there's space for like intuition that the universe is going to send something my way.
It's exactly that. And we have, in a normal busy mind in today's society, we have about 60,000 thoughts a day. And I'm really working to reduce that because our brains actually shouldn't have that many thoughts a day, but we're being bombarded with all these things. And the problem is that the 60,000 thoughts you have today are the same as the one you had yesterday and the same that you'll have tomorrow. So we're just, we don't realize it, but we're on a loop. And I found myself getting into a loop when I was going through that 3 week stress, despair pit when I was really tired with Rafi. I was just thinking, I'm so tired. Oh, this is so hard. And I was just saying that again and again in my mind. And none of that was helping me to get out of it. And that's where it feels familiar. It's easy for your brain to default back to that. And we are actually hardwired to have a bias towards negativity because that is what has allowed us to survive. So we have to actually override these instinctive patterns in our head. And what I've been doing is when I'm thinking about something terrible or how hard it is, I'm like, okay, shift. What's good? And it could be anything like, what am I grateful for? Or something like, let's play. What would a really cool thing in my business look like? I just shift it towards, or what could be a really fun thing me and Stephen could do when he's off on paternity leave? It doesn't matter what it is, but I'm shifting my mind towards a positive future that I could create rather than a negative something that's happening that I can't change. And there's something.
The universe rewarded you by answering your question. What would it look like if this was easy?
Oh my God.
The universe is like, this is what it would look like. You'd meet your client.
Exactly. And it's, see, the difference is the motivation of working with people who are on this visionary path to change the food system is I'm not thinking about money anymore because I'm just thinking, how do I help them?
Yes. I love that so much. I think that's such a big shift I've had recently where I can't remember if I told you this actually, but I've put my prices down, like back to my prices from last year because I was just like not aligned with success is more. Becoming more successful, I need to charge more money. And I'm like, that just doesn't feel great. And impact, like I was listening to these voice notes I sent myself when I was at Joe Dispenza and it was like impact or joy. And so I was like, this energy of creation, I was saying I create money, but it's looking at it and it's okay, but if I am a creator, so like, how am I creating it? Not, please come to me, money. It's not how you, like, that's not how abundance works. Abundance works, so this and this, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've spent so long listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer, right? I'm like such a huge fan of his work now. I just feel like he's constantly in my ear. And so for anyone who doesn't know Dr. Wayne Dyer, he was a school counselor, but a very spiritually evolved. And his first book was called The Erroneous Zones. And it is one of the best selling books in the world ever. It sold over 100 million copies. And it's a really interesting story about just being in service to someone. So when he had written that book, his agent said, I have got you the meeting of all meetings. It's with the agent of HarperCollins. Go in there, do your thing, just get this for us. And so Wayne Dyer went into the meeting and he saw, I can't remember the guy's name, let's just call him Jim. And Jim looked awful, like puffy face, tired. And Wayne said, Jim, like he'd never met him before. He said, what's going on? What's wrong? What's happened? And he said, the man just broke down. And he said, my wife told me last night that she's going to leave me. And he said, I had no idea. I didn't know she was unhappy. And she's got divorce papers. She's got everything. And Wayne Dyer, he just forgot about the pitch. And he just spoke with him for 4 hours. And he just did his thing. And he just comforted and listened to this man and shared in his experience. And then when he got out of the meeting 4 hours later, his agent rang him and said, how'd it go? And he said, oh, it went really well. We really connected. And he said, so what did you say about the book? And he said, He said, I forgot to talk about the book. I'm sorry. The agent went absolutely crazy and was like, you have no idea how hard it was to get you this meeting. And now you've just blown it up in the water. And then so the agent rang the publisher the next day and he said, look, I'm really sorry that he didn't talk about the book. And the publisher said, I don't care about the book. He said, whatever that man has written, I want it. Because if he has written about what he did to me yesterday, then I know this is going to be a hit. And it went on to be one of the best-selling books of all time.
Yeah, such a great story. I absolutely love it. And there's so many things that I think are really fun when this shift becomes authentic. Because, like what you were just talking about before, like, I don't want to work with somebody who I'm convincing. Yes, there might be part of the process where like you're helping them understand that this is what they want, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But we don't want to be like, I don't want to be hoodwinking somebody. I don't want to be like some sort of like sales maneuver. And it's, I'm like going on a big Zig Ziglar binge at the moment.
Okay.
And it's so great. So like Selling 101 is one of the best books like I've ever read on selling. Mm. Read it ages ago. I've read it quite a few times actually, but I recently reread it and I've been working on talking about it quite a bit with my, the business coaching cohort that I work with as part of my Mind Valley work. Mm. And I work as part of the coaching faculty at Mind Valley, which is an absolutely amazing company, and it's such a great gig. I love it. They have such amazing clients. So the coaches in training that I get to work with really are awesome. But it's just all about service. It's like making if you love your product and you genuinely think what you're doing is amazing and you're offering it at a price that feels like an absolute deal, not underpriced, but it just feels like energetically abundant for everybody, then it's easy. And it's like, if it's not right for somebody, it's not right for them. And that's great.
Yeah. It's something I always say to my clients is, what can you add to your service that is an easy thing for you to add, but it's going to make the offer so much better for the person? And there's so many simple things that you can do. Like when I look at it, even things in the food industry, it's like, what can you print on the packaging to help people, to assist people? It's like, that doesn't cost you anything, yet it can have a huge impact on the client's staff in the kitchen.
Such a great example, because I think sometimes people get really stuck mm-hmm. on like thinking that the value add needs to be like, they don't think about it from a client perspective. And what you're saying there about just adding simple things on the packaging, it's reminding me of, even if you add like something funny,
yes,
right, we love to be entertained. Like sometimes that small little thing can really make somebody laugh. It's, you're making their experience a little bit lighter because you've got this product, which is...
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you don't need to be the creator of great information. You just need to be the conduit of it. So say, for example, if you're a coach and you are helping somebody mindfulness, it's giving them access to a playlist, for example, on Spotify that you found really good. You don't need to create the playlist. It's, this is just something that I found. It really helped me. And actually, on that note, I have been able to saturate myself in all this spiritual work and all of this Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay and all these different people. It's
love
this
it.
App. I don't know if you know it. It's called Empower You. And it's €70.99 for the year. And I swear this is the best €70 I've ever spent. It's like Audible, but for all books on personal growth, spirituality, meditation, mindfulness. So there's everything from fasting, Fast Like a Girl by Mindy Peltz is in it. But then there's also things on decluttering. There's things on morning meditations, evening meditations. It's absolutely everything. And there's all these lecture series from these amazing spiritual teachers like Wayne Dyer, like Mariana Williamson. And it's just, what it has allowed me to do is I can just go in and be like, what would I like to listen to today? And I can just surround myself in all these conversations that are putting me, making me feel empowered, making me feel hopeful about the world, and making me feel, giving me the ideas that I know that I can start to make a difference.
I love, love, love this tip that you're giving, because it's like a positive Netflix. We all know that there are times where we want to be entertained. We want to sit back and relax and have something in our ear, or we want to watch something. And actually, when you've created the conditions for that experience to be a nourishing and a positive one, you're nudging yourself in that direction. And by getting the app, it's called Empower Me, right?
Empower You. It's by Hay House.
Amazing. It's by Hay House. So Hay House is the publisher that was founded by the amazing late Louise Hay, who wrote some of the most incredible books on a myriad of things. But my favorite is You Can Heal Your Life. Can't recommend that enough. But Hay House is I think it's probably the biggest publisher in the world of all of personal growth books.
Yep.
That's what they specialize in. So that's super interesting. I had no idea it was theirs. And I can only imagine they've got an amazing library. So I love that you've given this beautiful tip to our audience towards the end of today's episode. As usual, let's end today by sharing, what's your high, what's your low, what did you learn this week?
My high this week has been is an interesting one. I don't know. I think my high has been, you already know this, but I have a tendency to overfill my week. And there was this, I'm doing a course with a group called Brand Builders to help me bring my business online. And I absolutely love working with them. But I do need to admit to myself that I signed up to them far too early after having a baby. It's just that, and that is, this is the development area for me that I'm constantly fighting against, which is the hyperachiever that's saying, oh, I'm going to get left behind if I don't. I need to be developing myself and growing and doing this and that. And so I signed up to it. I had Rafi in October. I did a 2-day course with them in the middle of January. And I had Rafi strapped to a carrier because I'm a psychopath. Like, it's insane. So so their 2-day courses are on American time. So it's 3 p.m. to 12 a.m. You can imagine doing that a few weeks after having a baby was insane. But I'm really enjoying the course at work. It's absolutely amazing. And they had a course it's on captivating content. It's on that particular module. And it's a 1-day course. And I was really excited to do it. And there was a wait list and I couldn't get onto it. And it happens to be on Luca's and Enzo's birthday. And I was like, I'm just going to join the wait list. And I'm just going to... I hope I get it. I was obviously in real hyperachiever mode. And then on Tuesday or on Wednesday or Monday, my goodness, on Monday, I got a notification that I was next on the wait list and a space had become available. And like instantly I was like, yes, oh my God, this is so good. I get to do this. And then I was like, that voice, that intuition was like, Pia, is this something you actually want? Or is this just the hyperachiever at play here? And then I was thinking about it. I was like, I have such a busy week. I'm prepping for Enzo's birthday party. It's also his birthday that day. And his mother would be shelled away in the office doing this online course. And I will always look back and go, I missed my son's 3rd birthday. Yes, I know we're having a party at the weekend, but his actual birthday, because I was fucking working again. So it came in. I'm very proud of myself because I had a few minutes of, I'm going to do it. And then I started plotting, how am I going to manage all this? And then I went, no, this is madness. This is crazy. And I wrote back to them and I said, no, thank you. And then I washed my hands a bit and I felt really good. So that's my high.
Such a great high. What about your low?
My low is I'm putting my body back together. I'm putting my health back together, everything after having a baby. And I didn't know you had to do this the first time round. And I don't think my health was as good as I thought it was going into having a second baby. And now I just feel like everything's a little out of whack. My pelvis has been misaligned since having Rafi. And it's gotten really bad this week. Like, it's actually hard to walk. Now, this is another thing of like divine intervention. I was at a talk last week. It's called Mum Talks. It's in Dublin and it's actually all around the country, but it's bringing female business owners together with their babies. It's a really great, inspiring space. I loved it. But there was a woman there who I'd actually worked with before when I was pregnant with Enzo, who is a pregnancy and postnatal chiropractor. And when she was there giving a talk and I was like, you just get through these things. I had this pelvic pain for so long, but I was like, this will just go away eventually. I never thought of actively doing anything with it. So then when I saw her, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to book in. So the low basically has been, it's really weird. It's since I saw her and I've acknowledged this pain, it's gotten really bad, really bad. But I'm booked in with her for Saturday. So I am, the low is that it's just, I let it get so bad and it's really, it is sore. But other than that, I'm happy that I'm dealing with it.
And what did you learn?
What did I learn? I have, what I am learning, and this is an ongoing process, is I need to stop trying to control everything in my life and force this mission that I feel. I just feel this, I'm drawn to the food industry. I always, ever since I was a kid, I've been drawn to food. I know this is part of my life's work, but for so long, Kaya, I've been trying to force it. And what has happened to me in the last week has shown me that I just need to allow it to evolve. So that's what I'm trying to do. And it's a real fine balancing act of, I don't want to be in total inaction and just sitting on the couch and being like, okay, come to me. Like, it doesn't work like that, but it's getting yourself out there enough, but just being open to things and allowing it to come into your life. So that's what I'm learning, is to trust that.
Beautiful. Love that.
What about you? What's your high?
So my high is that I've had this shift into energy, creator energy.
Nice.
And I have, similarly to you, Last week, I just had some really cool things flowing to me. Even this week, amazing new clients, like really exciting new opportunity to work with a coach who I love and admire on their kind of program, which is super exciting. And then this other opportunity with this business that I'm already working with, which is just really fun and really cool. And it's some presenting work, which just feels really fun. So I think that just, I can feel that it's to do. You could say, oh, it's coincidence or this thing, but I can feel that it's this shift. Like I'm creator and then I'm just acting as if, and the things are like coming. So that's probably what my high is. My low is that I just have this really intense pain in my neck and in my shoulder. And I think I've said this before, but like grief has been such a physical manifestation for me.
And it's
emotionally, I feel good and I feel light and I'm being really kind to myself and I'm not pushing myself, but I have this intense, so that's been quite a low, that just like pain management. And I think what I've learned is that when I am not, the more that I'm in this energy of being present, that is very different from my to-do list energy. So when I am present to my meditation as it's happening, to my yoga practice, and I'm really just like enjoying the experience or just being present to what the experience is, life feels so much richer. And that's a big shift for me. I think that because I am quite disciplined and I have these practices, which I'm committed to and work, that sometimes I can start the, when I'm in the morning, even something like brushing my teeth, it's like, got to get my teeth brushed so I can get in my cold shower.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's so, the whole day is, can be like that. So I think it's really, it's a different energy for me to be laser focused on presence. And actually the saboteur that I've been working with is restless. Because restless is the one that's always saying, oh, the next thing, or the next thing, or you could do this, you could do this, you could do that. And it's like, but no, I'm doing my yoga practice right now. So can we just get back to what's happening in my hip? Not like what the options are for breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. On to the next thing. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when.
Yeah. I think that's what I've learned this week, is just the richness of working so like deeply on this next pattern has been abundant, like abundant riches from catching that. And actually, I wasn't really aware of it. It's interesting. That's the amazing thing about mental fitness, is like there's just so many layers, right? Yes. The way that the saboteurs show up for us is just, it keeps, it changes and it evolves. And it's like the onion. We just keep going on a new layer and a new layer. So that being said, thank you so much for joining us all today. And just encouraging you all to think about, what is it that you're feeding your mind? What is it that you're feeding your body? And what is the environment in which you're operating in?
Thank you for giving us your time. Did you know that you could change someone's day today just by sharing this episode?
Our mission is to help women. We all want more money, more success, more love, more laughter, and more time for ourselves.
Women helping women is how we're going to get there.